You can see the page number there, 1093. So I'm reading from verse 22, just there's three verses, and we'll look at another passage in a bit. So it's on page 1093, down on the right-hand side there, and this is Peter speaking. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, keep those pages open, please. We're going to look at those verses. I'll ask for God's help for us as we think about them. Loving Father, we do thank you that in the scriptures we hear your voice. And today we hope to hear your voice. We ask, please, that you would protect us from hard hearts that would resist what we hear and resent what we hear. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So 180 years ago, the policeman George Clark was serving the local community. I think the history is that he was a believer. Is that right, Rosemary? Yeah, he was a believer. Could we have the picture up, please? But he was,
thank you.
He was a believer in God. He was killed. Where was God when that happened? This week, a devastating earthquake hit Venezuela. Hundreds of people died. Thousands of people have lost their homes, and they now feel hopeless for the future. Where was God when that happened? On the 15th of May, three schools in Borno State, Nigeria, were attacked by armed men. And the attackers kidnapped 50 children. That same day, militants invaded secondary schools in Oyo State. I don't know if I've said that right. Is that right? Oyo State? Oyo. And kidnapped 40 individuals, including students. Where was God when that happened? Why didn't he stop it? Was he somewhere else? Was he powerless? If the powerful God of the Bible exists, why do bad things like that happen? Now, there are many answers as to why bad things do happen in God's world. Here are three. Can we have the next slide, please? Why do bad things happen? Here's one answer people will give. They will say everything in this world happens by accident. There is no God. And so sometimes bad things happen, and sometimes good things happen. But there's no higher being who's involved. That's one of the answers that you will hear. Here's the second answer. God is overall, but there are evil spirits who bring trouble into our lives. There is a good God, but he's at a distance. Sometimes he will step in, but when he's not involved, bad might well come because of ancestral spirits, curses, and other effects. That's a second explanation. Here's a third thing that people will say. There is a God, and he directly controls every single event in the universe. Every moment, he directly controls it. The earthquake, the abduction of those children. This is easy to understand. It seems right, but it is not actually exactly what the Bible says. In the verses I read, we heard what Peter, some of what Peter said to the people on the day of Pentecost. He's not actually answering this question. That's not why he stood up to speak, to say, why do bad things happen? He was explaining why the Holy Spirit had come. See, the Holy Spirit had enabled the disciples to speak in other languages, and people said, what's going on? And so Peter had explained this was the coming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had sent the Holy Spirit. Jesus had done that because he is God's promised King. So on the day of Pentecost, Peter is explaining Jesus is the great promised King who has sent his Holy Spirit. He's not talking about why do bad things happen, who's in control. But to explain the history of Jesus, he mentions God's control. Because in the story of Jesus, it looked like Jesus had lost. It looked like Jesus was a failure. And yet Peter says, though it seemed like that, it was God's purpose. So listen to the verses again, verse 22 to 24. Peter speaking, fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. So extraordinary things happened that only God could have done, not normal things. Verse 23. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. This man who'd done so much good was killed. How was it possible? You know, the people, wicked men, put him to death, nailing him to the cross. How did that happen? Well, it says, verse 23, this man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. It was in line with God's foreknowledge. Foreknowledge means knowing beforehand, means knowing ahead of time what's going to come. You know, we look for weather forecasters to tell us that, don't we? And we'd love to know the football pundits who'd tell us who's going to win. But God knows what's going to happen. But he's not just someone who can tell the future. It says this happened according to God's plan and foreknowledge, his deliberate plan. God planned it this way. So those wicked men did what they wanted. They chose to oppose Jesus. But in doing that, they did what God deliberately planned. Now let's look at another passage. Turn two pages over to chapter 4. Can we have the slide up, please? It's page 1096. And I'm going to read from verse 23 to 31. The background to here is that Jesus has worked a miracle through Peter. A lame man was instantly healed. And then Jesus' enemies have seized Peter and John. They've imprisoned them, they've threatened them, and they've told them not to speak about Jesus. So then verse 23, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. This is what David had said. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So here we've got some more words about the events at those times. It's not a speech to onlookers like we had in chapter 2. These are the words of prayer, speaking to God. They're praying to the sovereign king or sovereign Lord, verse 24. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God's sovereign Lord. And they recognize how God has kept his promise. Just as he had said through his messenger David, people oppose God's promised king. They're praying about the situation. They're not thinking particularly about the question we've got. Go to the next slide. Is it? Yeah, why do bad things happen? They're not thinking about that question. But as they're praying, they think about God being in control. Because it had looked like Jesus was lost. It had looked like Jesus was a failure. And yet even this was God's purpose. Look at verse 27. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. The enemies conspired, organized together to kill him. But look what it says in verse 28. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. See, this is not just foreknowledge. This is not just God being better than any weather forecast or football pundit. It happened according to God's power and will. This is what God decided would happen. Not just that God knew what would happen ahead of time and expected it. God decided that this would happen. God planned that this would happen. And then these men did it. Without knowing it was God's plan. They did what they wanted to do. But it was what God had planned. These men worked together to kill the Son of God. But God gave his Son to die. Remember the three options of what happens up on the screen here. The first one, there is no God. Everything happens by accident. That doesn't match what we're reading here because we've got words from David hundreds of years before Jesus was even born that have now come true in the life of Jesus. That tells us that there is someone with great knowledge that humans don't have. It's not, and the way there are so many Old Testament phrases and ideas that come true in the New Testament gives us assurance there is a God. It's not just all an accident. Second, the idea that there is a good God overall, but trouble becomes because of curses and ancestral spirits. The Bible does talk about evil spirits, but never that they are able to spoil God's plans or that he's sort of sat back watching what's happening and sad because they're getting away with it. And evil spirits aren't used as the explanation for why these people did their evil. The third thing, the idea that there is a God who controls every single event and makes every moment happen. Now that seems closer to what's happening here because he put the very words into David's mouth, or he was speaking out of David's mouth. Did you see that back in verse 25? You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant David. That's God acting in very great control. His plan came about, his promises came true, but it does not say that God snatched Jesus and God put him on the cross. Those men did that wicked act, and in some way God was at work. This is the Bible's idea. Can we have the next line? God controls, but differently from us. God not only is able to foretell things, you know, look ahead and foreknow things, but also to plan them and decide what is going to happen in a way that's above ours. And that means that those men who did what was wrong, they're not just like puppets whose, you know, hands are moved by strings, or that there's a hand inside a glove puppet that makes it do things. They really decided those things for themselves. They chose to conspire against Jesus and to kill him on a cross. They're real decisions. They did exactly what they wanted to do. At the same time, they did exactly what God wanted to do. they should be blamed for what they did, and God should be praised for what happened. Sorry, I saw that happening, but couldn't warn you in time. It's just a breeze. God is God. He decides at the highest level. He deliberately plans. But then in this world, humans choose what we will do. Now, you might be feeling confused, and that's okay if you're confused at this point. Listen to what I'm going to say. We find it hard to accept because we think God is like us, but just bigger. We think God is like us, but just stronger. He is not. He's not just a bigger, stronger version of you or me. He is very different. He is the creator of all that exists, and we are all created by him. We are very different from God the creator. And we must get out of trying to think of him in terms of some, a superpower human. He's not just a bigger, stronger, cleverer version of us. We can't put him on a scale and say, I'm like a microgram and God is heavier than the sun. Or I'm like someone who can understand a single sentence, but God is like someone who can understand all the words on the internet. He's in a different category from us, and yet works through this world. It's complicated, isn't it? But we shouldn't expect... The danger is when we try to think God is like us and we can understand him. Okay, we're given teaching here in the scripture to understand to the extent God enables us to understand. And we, as those who are learning to trust Jesus and trust his instruction, need to take what we are taught. Okay? Now, so I'm saying we're coming up to a point here in which it's impossible for us to grasp, because God is bigger than us. But I want to focus on what we do know, because God does tell us in order that we can have trust. So the next slide, some of the lessons for this, implications for us. The first thing, God's plan will succeed. We can trust him. So it looked like Jesus was a failure. It looked like Jesus had lost. But even the enemies of Jesus, it turned out they were doing what God wanted. And no one saw that at the time. But looking back, Peter recognized it. If that's true, God's plans are unstoppable. And if even the men who ganged up to kill his son actually turned out were doing what God wanted, nothing can stop God. He's always at work. We usually do not see how, but God is always at work and his plan will succeed. Now that can feel very hard when bad things are happening in the world. And it feels more comfortable to say, well, God had a day off that day. Or God couldn't manage that one. But the Bible won't let us think that. To Jesus' friends, it seemed a terrible thing when Jesus was killed. And you might say, look, it would help me to trust God more if he just explained to me why my granddaughter died as a child. Why my family life has been so painful for me. Why that news story. It would help me if God would just explain. But he knows how much you and I need to know. It can seem very hard to accept God is working when bad things are happening. But hear this comfort. It would be a much worse world if God was not in control. That would mean God's big plan couldn't be trusted. Because if God's not in control when difficult things are happening, then how is he going to bring about the good future that he's promised? He can't, can he? Well, we can't be sure. Can hope, we can, give him a hand and pray to help him, but we can't be sure. Whereas the Bible's saying, no, God is going to bring it about. Even when Jesus' enemies ganged up against him, That was actually God's own plan. God's plan is unstoppable. It's better to be in a world where I don't know everything that's going on, but I do know there's a good God who's running it. God's plan will succeed. Sorry, that should say succeed. God's plan will succeed, not success. God's plan will succeed. We can trust him. Second thing, don't try to work out what God has not revealed. Don't try and work out the details that God has not revealed. In the Bible, the passage that Chanel read to us from Isaiah chapter 10 in the Old Testament, and then here in the New Testament, God's messengers do reveal for us what was going on. The people themselves involved didn't understand, and they were doing what they thought they wanted to do. Chanel read about an ancient emperor who thought he could, you know, he was going around crushing the other kingdoms and he was in control. And God said, No, I'm using you in my plan. We do not know, though, why God allowed the earthquake in Venezuela. And we do not know why he allows good things to happen. We don't ask that question. We don't say, well, how is it that my bus got to the destination every day this week without breaking down? Why did God let that happen? Do we ask that? We don't, do we? We're troubled by the bad events and the sad events. But what I'm warning you against here is something I've heard from people who are experiencing sad and painful events. And they come up with an explanation of what God's probably doing and how they think it's going to land at the end. And if it didn't turn out as they were expecting, they then have doubted the God they were thinking of. You know, in order to get through the struggle and the suffering, they thought, this is hard, but I know God's good, and I expect my aunt is going to become a Christian because of this. Or I expect it'll all turn out better in the end. And then when those things don't happen, where is God? Because they've created an assurance that God hadn't given them. So don't do that. It's best not to guess what God means for individual events in our lives. Don't listen to people who think they are sure about what God is doing in your life. Because where do they find it from? Don't listen to people who claim God gives them special knowledge as to exactly what's going on in your life. So that's the second implication. Don't try and work out the details that God has not revealed. Third lesson, God reveals that Jesus' death is his plan. God reveals that Jesus' death is his plan. That's what we've had in these two sections of Acts that we've looked at this morning. So how does that help? I mean, most things we've said, God doesn't tell us why these things happen in our lives. He doesn't tell us why the abductions in Nigeria. Doesn't tell us why the earthquake in Venezuela. Doesn't tell us why the policeman was killed. Why do we learn it here? Well, it's because in the death of Jesus, it looked like everything was lost. It looked like Jesus was a failure. But now we're hearing this was God's purpose, this was God's plan. So if you're here this morning, you're not a believer in Jesus, this passage is saying to you, trying to oppose Jesus will fail. Even those who oppose Jesus get used in God's plans. You can't stop God's plans. If we had time, I could show you that God offers forgiveness even to those people who were opposing Jesus. And he invites you to give up opposing Jesus, to make Jesus your king, accept he's your king, and to get forgiveness. That's what he invites you to do. That's for unbelievers, non-believers in Jesus. What about if you're a believer in Jesus? This episode in chapter 4 is encouraging you. Don't be discouraged when people resist Jesus and resist Christians talking about him today. There are people who try to stop family members or stop people at work talking of Jesus. People who will laugh about him. People who try and make Jesus irrelevant by saying all religions are the same, basically. Don't be put off. God promised this, and this happened when people opposed Jesus. It happened when they opposed Peter and John in those early days. It will still happen. And that's somehow part of God's plan. So don't give up. God reveals Jesus' death and all the opposition behind it is God's plan. I'm sure if you've been following this, this has raised some big questions for you. Please talk to me, email me. I just want to give you an advert. A lot of what I've said has come from this little book, which is called Where Was God When That Happened? So the name of the book is that question. And I think it's a brilliant book to help us understand that. It costs £3.50, but we've got 10 copies that are £2 each. If you've got your card, Sophie's going to have the card reader afterwards for those who haven't been able to pay for the church meal a couple of weeks ago. But also, if you'd like to get one of these books, only £2, it's nearly half price. Do take it away and have a read. I think if you just read one chapter a day, have a think about it, it'll really help you with this really complex question, seeing the plain teaching of Scripture on this topic. Any questions immediately? That's a dangerous thing for me to offer. Okay, no one got a question? Right, okay. I'll lead us in a prayer. Let's pray. Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Your purpose will stand and you will do all that you please. No disaster, no curse or evil spirit, no human can stop your plans. And you will even use them somehow in your plans. Lord, we are sad when bad things happen to others and when bad things happen to us. We're confused when we cannot see why you allow these. We will trust that you are good. Please help us to trust you. We want to take a willing part in your plans. Help us to know what to do and to do it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Speak.